My message is entitled today, Listening to the Voice of Angels, Life Changing. In the basement of Central Christian Church in Augusta, Georgia, in the assembly room of the elementary Sunday school class in the old building, hung a picture I can still see when I close my eyes and go back there in my memory. Perhaps you have seen the picture. It's a picture of two small children, a little girl and a little boy, standing very, very close to a precipice. Danger is near. And behind them hovers a large angel, wings outstretched, somewhat embracing them and protecting them from harm. As a five-year-old, Miss Bertha told us that this was a guardian angel and that all of us have guardian angels that God has given us. God was always covering us up with God's angels of love and care. This knowledge provided much strength to a little boy who often felt frightened by the darkness. Many times I searched for my guardian angel, hoping the angel was there when the lights were turned out. Or I had to go run an errand in the darkness. Fast forward to a young man, 19 years old, and this guardian angel had changed posture and stature. Now the angel no longer just protects. The angel challenges choices made for the future. Serve God by responding to God's invitation to serve others, or choose your selfish wants. One choice involves surrender to God's love. The other choice gratifies the ego. And so it will be throughout my life. The comforting and protective guardian angel transforms into the angel that challenges, provokes, and will not let go until a decision is made and action has been taken. After 76 years, my guardian angel has become my friend, someone I talk to daily, and still has the capacity to kick me out of my complacency. Sometimes my angel friend grabs hold of me, shakes me, and will not let go of me until I come face to face with my fears, with my prejudice, and my denials. I do know that the angel will not leave me. I do know that the angel will not quit loving me. And neither will the angel cease being the voice of God I need to hear. May I also affirm that the angel never ceases to care for me and protect me. The angel is always there. Tossing and turning in the middle of the night, I can grow quiet, take a couple of deep breaths, and I'm aware that my angel is present to listen to the murmurings of my heart. The angel does not know time. I'm also confident that the angel will be there when I cross over from this life and to the next. I hope it won't be soon. But when it comes, I remain confident that the angel will be there. Angels come into our lives. And sometimes we choose to acknowledge their presence and we strain hard to hear their voice and feel the comfort of their embrace. And then for others, the angel's presence remains hidden. Conversations not shared. And the advantage of God's love is not allowed to comfort and to challenge and to confront and to guide. Not acknowledging angels does not mean they're not there. You may say to me, Jack, I haven't seen my angel. Well, that doesn't mean that the angel is not there. Sometimes it takes a miracle or a special event to make a person validate their presence. But they are there. Take my word for it. Of course, you have to take my word for it because I'm preaching. Angels are everywhere in our Advent scriptures and the story of Jesus' birth. Notice, an angel comes to Jesus' mother, Mary. An angel comes to Joseph, as the scripture says, Jesus' father. An angel comes to Elizabeth, Mary's cousin. An angel comes to Zechariah, Elizabeth's husband. Angel comes to Eastern kings, magi, wise men. Angels come to simple shepherds, announcing the birth of a Savior who is Christ the Lord. And then even a multitude of angels light up the evening sky, singing in unison, glory to God and peace on earth. Angels are everywhere in the scriptures. Ah, Jack, you say. This is simply a storytelling device used by Matthew and Luke in dramatizing the event of Jesus' birth. The language and imagery of angels is the storyteller's way of making this story special, a way to speak to the unknown. You don't expect me to take angels seriously, do you? Billy? Why not? Think about how God enters into our lives. How does God speak to us? How does God make God's self and God's will known to humankind personally? Take it from an old man. God is everywhere, covering us up with God's word and God's presence. But we have to slow down and quiet the noise out of our life and hear God and experience God's presence, especially when it comes to angels. As I was preparing the sermon, I visualized experiences when I stood at the bedside of the ill, placed my hand on his or her head, and prayed for healing and wholeness. I now can see that there was an angel there covering the patient and covering me with outstretched arms. Or maybe it was leading a wedding and witnessing two lovers share their abiding love in marriage. I now can see the angel was there, outstretched wings, embracing us. Or perhaps it was holding an infant and dedicating a baby. hearing the parents commit themselves and the congregation, and see now that there was an angel standing there. Or maybe it was holding our infant son, Chad, on my chest, laying back in my lazy boy when he was stuffy and unable to sleep. And we slept together, and an angel, I now know, was there, wings outstretched, embracing us, protecting us. Or it may be holding Lana just after we've resolved a conflict. Or maybe enjoyed loving each other. And we can, I now know, the angel was there. Looking back, I can see the angel's presence clearly. And because I know that the angel was there in the past, I believe the angel is present now, even as I preach. Therefore, I know my angel will be there for me in the future. Of course, I have to share with you that coming to know your guardian angel often requires moving through difficult, dangerous, and troubling times. If you insist on projecting your own ego, chances are you will not be able to get out of the way to encounter your angel. Ego wants to be in charge. Believe me, I know that. Ego wants to be in charge and consequently blocks out and drowns out God's presence and God's voice, and we are reduced to making decisions and entering into life on our own. Perhaps this is why God's angels come to us when it's night and we are sleeping, when the noise of living is quieted and our phones are turned off. The angels whisper in our ears and things start shake, rattling, and roll. I have found that when I find a quiet place, I can hear better and feel God's presence embrace me. I also know that when I'm in the process of sharing love or experiencing love, God's angel is very present to me. Practicing righteousness can validate behavior. That is, I know I'm doing what the law demands. But when I practice mercy and forgiveness and compassion, it's here that I know God. Joseph was a righteous man. The God he knew was in the law. But when the angel came, he came to know God as merciful, forgiving, and compassionate. When the angel came, Joseph met God face to face and enjoyed God at a level that he had never known. The gospel message is not practicing law. The gospel message is God is love. The very being of God is mercy, forgiveness, and compassion. And when God is law, you can't use God to beat your enemy into a bloody pulp. But when God is love, you practice mercy, forgiveness, and compassion. Otherwise, we call it grace. So I say that Christmas is a time to slow down and hear the angels sing in your life. They sing at Christmas pageants. I appreciated the children's message this morning. We could have spent the entire sermon me telling you stories of Christmas pageants that have revealed angels unawares. The angels come in the ringing of the Salvation Army bell, or feeding persons who have come to get food. Angels sing. Angels sing in homeless shelters and food banks. Angels sings at border walls as the refugee seeks a freedom and a better life, and someone who cares with them and shares with them a blanket or a meal or a place to sleep or a welcoming smile, and angels sing. Angels sings when people play Saint Nicholas and give gifts of love. Angels sings when Grinch's heart discover kindness. See, really, angels are everywhere. God is seeking to break into your world and my world if we would just slow down and quiet ourselves and listen. Be aware. Have you taken time to be with your guardian angel? Miss Bertha said we all have one. If not, I hope you will try. But the caveat is, I must also warn you, listen carefully, welcoming your guardian angel will change your life. To hear the voice of God and enjoy God's embrace will change your life. Angels change how we see. Angels change what we see. Angels change how we feel. When the angel came to Joseph, he saw Mary in a different light. And rather than acting out of righteousness, which was his right, he acted out of love. He saw the larger picture of God at work in his life. When Mary experienced the angel, her whole life changed. Fear and shame were replaced with a holy mission and a divine calling. In faith, Mary and Joseph began their journey together, and I know the angel journeyed with them. With the infant in her womb, Joseph by her side, and the angels accompanying them, they understood clearly the meaning of the word Emmanuel, God is with us all the time. As I close, I need to share with you that my experience with angels comes through looking back as well as real time. Most of the time, I realized angels were present when I relived the experience. Looking back. When I look back, I can see their footprints everywhere. The real-time experience provoked decision. I can describe the events as wrestling with God. You may remember that in the Old Testament scripture, Jacob wrestled with God. He walked away after that night-long match, wrestling with the angel of God. He walked with a limp from that time on. I have to tell you that when you wrestle with God, we all walk away with a limp. I was changed. And you will be changed in body and mind and spirit. The looking back experience is invoked presence awareness. Remembering God allows me to place the happenings in an order that enables me to see God's face in the present. I could write a book, as I said, of angels unaware, and it would be the complication of my remembered experiences wherein the angel of God was with me and with others. It helps me to visualize my life with an angel walking with me. I see people and events through different eyes. I tend to keep God's Spirit very present when the angel is with me. A byproduct is I experience the gift of love and the presence of joy more often. I'm less critical. I try not to judge. Sometimes that's hard. But I try not to judge. And I try to make myself availed to the journey of others. The other day we were up in Murfreesboro, Tennessee, and I was running some errands. I'd let Lana out and I was driving. And there in the middle of the road was a young woman sitting on the island where the traffic light was. Lovely face. And she held out a sign in front of her. Any help is appreciated. I know some people would say, why doesn't she go to the shelter? Why doesn't she do this? Why don't she do that? In that moment, in that place, I saw her as a story, wondering what brought her to this place. I try not to judge. I try to be in touch with a person's story. And I think it's in those times that I experience God's presence. I'm less vocal. I know Lana sometimes thinks I need to listen more, but I am trying to listen more. I try to understand where others are coming from, how their experiences are impacting their behavior. I find myself becoming more compassionate and forgiving. I'm more able to let things go. And I pray that people will relate to me in the same way. So I recommend angel awareness. And I encourage you to try it. You will be surprised by what happens. Mary Oliver writes, Mary Oliver the poet, I have refused to live locked in the orderly house of reason and proofs. The world I live in and believe in is wider than that. And anyway, what's wrong with maybe? You wouldn't believe what once or twice I have seen. I'll just tell you this. Only if there are angels in your head will you ever possibly see one. Amen.